Beginning at verse 129, this is on page 621 in the Church Bibles. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 129. Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may obey your precepts. May your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flowed from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Margaret, if you'd like to come up there, that would be a joy to us. Margaret's going to tell us just what it has meant to her to have God's word in her life.
I was going to say, I'm Margaret Brown. If there's anybody who doesn't know me, let me know afterwards, but I don't think there is. My involvement with Bible Society began in 1952 when, at the age of 10, I accompanied my mother on her house-to-house collections. She became treasurer in 1957 of the Tunbridge Action Group, and I took over this post on her death in 1977. Then in 1991, I became secretary and chairman in 2011. Tunbridge Action Group was formed in 1814, just 10 years after the society was founded. And in 2014, we held a Thanksgiving service to mark the 200 years of our existence. That tells you a little bit about our local action group. I received my first Bible, the Authorised Version, which I have used ever since, as a Sunday school prize at the age of 6. I remember taking it home and sitting by the fire and opening it and starting to read from the beginning of Genesis. At the age of 8, I started using Bible reading notes and desperately endeavouring to read every day. All through my life, I have used Bible reading notes, but doing this every day has been in fits and starts. However, as I have become older, this has become my way of life. I am passionate about the Bible being available to everyone to read in their own language. After all, it is the handbook of every Christian through which God speaks to us and guides us to be more like him. In recent Bible studies which I have attended, the words have just jumped off the page. In fact, it's been absolutely thrilling to see things I have never seen before. This can only be the work of the Holy Spirit, showing me more than I have previously understood. So often we read in Bible Society literature how the Bible has been responsible for reconciliation of individuals and the cessation of hostilities between warring communities. It is the most powerful book in the Bible, in the world, sorry. It is the most powerful book in the world, and we must do all we can to see that it is placed into the hands of people everywhere. Now, I would like to read you a little bit from the recent Word in Action magazine, which I thought would be rather interesting for you. 90-year-old Mei Wen is full of joy. She comes from China. After 25 years of following Jesus, she's received her first Bible. Mei Wen got up at 3 a.m. to travel to rural church with her daughter when she heard that Bibles were being distributed. She was one of many who raised her hand to request a Bible. Mei Wen said, "The Bible is very precious to me. When I became a Christian, I could not read, but I have learned more and more words." She wept as she recalled the verse that speaks to her most, where it says, "Jesus was crucified for my sins." And Mei Wen had a message for people like us, who helped to put the Bible into her hands. "I want to thank you 1,000 times because you are so generous. I am so happy and thankful to have my Bible today." Thank you.
Hi, Margaret. Thank you very much indeed. That's quite moving. Now we're going to sing again. And this time it's number 481. We've just heard that reading from Psalm 119, "Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. God does not change, and nor does his word." And so we sing, "Lord, thy word abideth." That's number 481. We'll stand to proclaim that powerful message. Do sit for our second reading from Roxanne.
The reading is from Luke chapter 4 and can be found on page 1030 of the Church Bibles. Luke chapter 4 and beginning at verse 16. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum." "I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Jill and I, in April, late April, went with Peter Walker to the Holy Land, to Nazareth. And there in a rebuilt synagogue, the recreation of where Jesus said those words, we had that reading. And the force of them came as never before to us as we heard them. And now, before Norman brings that precious word of God, we're going to sing again. It's number 652. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." 652. We'll stand.
Please do sit. And it's a good morning from me again. It's lovely to be back here again. And I do love the welcome and the feeling of welcoming in this place. So thank you. And another lovely reason for being back is because it is Bible Sunday. And the Bible, as we've already heard, is such a precious book. And we're going to be looking a little bit more at Psalm 119. So if you've got the Bibles with you, it's just, you might like to have those open, ready at Psalm 119. I'll give you a chance to do just that. Can't remember the page number. Oh, is that? Oh, I'm behind the number. And before we go any further, let me pray for us. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. By your Spirit, open your word to us this morning. Enlighten our understanding and encourage our lives. Through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, it is Bible Sunday, and we're very lucky in this country to have free and ready access to any number of Bibles. And to be free to be able to come to worship God in a variety of ways. And for the most part, although there are some restrictions, we can talk about Jesus and we can wear Christian symbols quite openly. I know that's not always the case, and there are some problems there. But for the most part, we can. I counted the number of Bibles that we have at home that we've collected over the years. And including the one I've got on my phone, we've got 15 between us of different versions and of different sizes as well. Although I've got to say, very often the slightly larger print is more beneficial for reading nowadays, in spite of the glasses. And whenever I take a Bible, or any book for that matter, not just the Bible, any book off the shelf, I've got this habit. I don't know whether you have. Yes, I can. And sometimes there is a cloud of dust, but I can assure you that from the Bibles I use frequently, there is not a cloud of dust that comes up from those. And I hope from your Bibles you don't have that problem either. But I'm pretty sure as well that whoever wrote this Psalm 119 scrolls or any other writings that he may have had at home wouldn't have had that problem of gathering dust, because this man was a passionate reader of God's word. Psalm 119, as you probably know, and if you've just flicked through those pages or looked to see, well, how many more verses in this psalm as it was being read to you, is the longest psalm in the Bible. And it's split into 22 sections, each of which have 8 verses. And it's an acrostic psalm, with each section starting with the succeeding letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And we don't know who wrote it, but verses 9 to 16 seem to indicate that it's a young Israeli man who, as I said, is just passionate about the life-giving word of God. And he's committed himself to reading it, studying it, and living by it. I just want to read those verses to you. He says this: "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." Wow. And that passion is found throughout the psalm, as he writes quite openly and honestly about the difficulties that he faces trying to live that holy life. He acknowledges he doesn't always get it right. There are struggles. And constantly he has to come back to God to ask for forgiveness. And he knows the pain of correction too. For those of us who've had children, if they do wrong, we have to correct them. If you think back to your childhood, when you got something wrong, I'm pretty sure most of you were corrected in some form or other. This young man knew the pain of correction when he went astray. He has to suffer the consequences. And he doesn't complain about that. He says in verse 71, "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees." It was good for me to be afflicted. It was good for me to get told off. It was good for me to be chastised. It was a lesson that I needed to learn, so that I might learn your decrees, learn your laws, learn your word. But at the same time, he knows the goodness of God and the joy that he gets through obedience to God's word. And he suffered as well from the opposition of and the ridicule from those who just arrogantly disobeyed God's law. You would have thought in the Hebrew, in the Israeli society, that he wouldn't need to suffer antagonism from the others in society. You would have thought that they would be all on the similar wavelength. But no, it was not true. A lot of the Hebrew society was also quite secular, as it is today as well. You have the avid followers of God's word, but then you have the secular side as well. And those who arrogantly oppose him would ridicule him for him trying to obey, finding so the word of God so precious. They set traps for him, it says in verse 110. They spread lies about him in verse 69. And in verse 39, he fears disgrace. He fears disgrace. And then, this tells you just how much he had to put up with. The opposition had been so bad that he says this in verse 87. They almost wiped me from the earth. They almost wiped me from the earth. So what keeps him going? In verse 105, we read the famous words that are often used in our services, and I used it in the opening prayer to this talk as well. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And he goes on to say, I've taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. And that confirmed oath just shows how deadly serious he was about the importance of God's word. How deadly serious he was about following God's word. No matter the derision, no matter the opposition from the society around him. This young man was not someone who was just a slavish follower, though, but someone who was just genuinely in love with God and his word. He had a hunger for God's word. He knew the truth of God's word. He applied God's word. He saw God's word work in his life. He is in love with God and his word. It was like nectar. And he says in verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. It's in that written word, that word as well that had been passed down by the teachers, the Hebrew teachers, that our writer discovers the truth of what God says, and through it finds the strength to carry on. Conflict is hard, as I suspect many of you will know. I've known a few times in my working life when the pressures have built up, when people have heaped demands on top of demands, when I've been verbally attacked, and goodness knows what was being said behind my back. And I've been to the stage when I've thought, I can't take any more of this. I can't carry on. So what do you do in circumstances like that? You do what comes naturally. What this young man did. He went back to the Word of God. He could recall the Word of God in his mind, because he'd read it so often. He hadn't got the whole Bible as we've got it, but what he had got was so precious to him. And he poured out his heart to God. He poured out his heart to the Father. And God came through. His strength was renewed. Isaiah 40, verses 27 to 31, is a famous, well, not, well, it is famous, but is a very important passage to me. I've very much known the truth of this. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I can bear witness to the truth of those words. In a physical sense as well, because through them I've also received physical healing, and which only happened after God had pointed me to this particular passage. Despite all the difficulties that this young man faced, all the opposition, it's that passion, that enthusiasm for God's word that constantly shines through Psalm 119. And he finds joy in reading it. Nearest I can come to it is if you've got a book which you find so enthralling, you just can't put it down because you want to know what happens next. Or if there's a television series you've been following, and you can't wait for the next installment to come to find out what happens next. There's one musical as well that I can watch and listen to the music time and time again. Les Miserables. I'm hooked on it. I'm fascinated. The characterization, there's so much about it. But it's that sort of draw, but even more so, that's the pull the Word of God has for this young man. And I pray for myself, and I pray for you, that that's the pull that the Word of God, the Bible, will have for you and me. At the lay ministry conference at the beginning of this month, Bishop Simon said to us, "When we stop reading and listening to the Bible, we stifle our growth." When we stop reading and listening to the Bible, we stifle our growth. And how true that is. It's a long psalm, but I want to encourage you to read it all the way through and to feel that passion that this young man had. There were hard times. There were good times. That's life, isn't it? Robin, could I ask you now to read that psalm through again? From the version that we heard read, and then I'm going to reread it after that in the Message translation as well.
Certainly. Psalm 119 at verse 129, that was our reading. "Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed."
Every word you give me is a miracle word. How could I help but obey? Break open your words. Let the light shine out. Let ordinary people see the meaning. Mouth open and panting, I wanted your command more than anything. Turn my way. Look kindly on me, as you always do to those who personally love you. Steady my steps with your word of promise, so nothing malign gets the better of me. Rescue me from the grip of bad men and women, so that I can live life your way. Smile on me, your servant. Teach me the right way to live. I cry rivers of tears, because nobody's living by your book. Let's be still just for a moment before I pray. Heavenly Father, increase in us a passion for your word. Break open your words, let the light shine out, and let ordinary people see the meaning, and especially those who don't yet know you. Give us a greater understanding of your written word, and help us to hear your word for our church and for our own lives today. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is the light of the world and who has the words of eternal life. Amen.
Amen.